go back a little bit from last week. The word of Jesus. My beloved child, the light of my heart, your words are dearer and more pleasing to me than the angelic chorus. All the treasures of my heart are open to you. Take from this heart all that you need for yourself and for the whole world. For the sake of your love, I withhold the just chastisement which mankind has deserved. A single act of pure love pleases me more than a thousand imperfect prayers. One of your signs of love atones for many offenses with which the godless overwhelm me. The smallest act of virtue has unlimited value in my eye because of your great love for me. In a soul that lives on my love unknown, I reign as in heaven. I watch over it day and night. In it, I find my happiness. My ear is attentive to each request of its heart. Often I anticipate its request. O child, especially beloved by me, apple of my eye, rest a moment near my heart and taste of the love in which you will unite for all eternity. But child, you are not yet in my homeland. So go, fortified by my grace, and fight for my kingdom in human souls. Fight as a king's child would, and remember that the days of your exile will pass quickly, and with them, the possibility of earning merit for heaven. I expect from you, my child, a great number of souls who will glorify my mercy for all eternity. My child, that you may answer my call worthily, receive me daily in Holy Communion. It will give you strength. Her word, Jesus, do not leave me alone in suffering. You know not how weak I am. I'm an abyss of wretchedness. I'm nothingness itself. So what will be so strange if you leave me alone and I fall? I'm an infant, Lord, so I cannot get along by myself. However, beyond all abandonment, I trust. In spite of my own feeling, I trust, and I'm being completely transformed into trust, often in spite of what I feel. Do not lessen any of my sufferings. Only give me strength to bear them. Do with me as you please, Lord. Only give me the grace to be able to love you in every event and circumstance. Lord, do not lessen my cup of bitterness. Only give me strength that I may be able to drink it all. O Lord, sometimes you lift me up to the brightness of visions, and then again you plunge me into the darkness of night and the abyss of my nothingness, and my soul feels as if it were alone in the wilderness. Yet above all things, I trust in you, Jesus, for you are unchangeable. My moods change, but you are always the same, full of mercy. You see, she is not always in the light, sometimes the fullest of night, and then suddenly complete darkness for some time. So at times our life is like that. At times you feel so full of life and suddenly dried. It's a time to offer. Jesus, source of light, sanctify me. O my strength, fortify me. My commander, fight for me. only lights of my soul enlighten me. My Master, guide me. I entrust myself to you as a little child does to its mother's love. Even if all things were to conspire against me, and even if the ground were to give way under my feet, I would be at peace, close to your heart. You are always a most tender mother to me, and you surpass all mothers. I will sing all my pain to you by my silence, and you will understand me beyond any utterance. The Lord visited me today and said, "My daughter, do not be afraid of what will happen to you. I will give you nothing beyond your strength. You know the power of my grace. Let that be enough. We have always sufficient grace to overcome any cross we encounter." After these words, the Lord gave me a deeper understanding of the action of His grace. Before Holy Communion, Jesus gave me to understand that I should pay absolutely no attention to what a certain sister would say, because her cunning and malice were displeasing to Him. "My daughter, do not speak to this person about either your views or your opinions." The word of Jesus. I begged the Lord's pardon for what in that soul was displeasing to Him, and begged Him to strengthen me with His grace when she would come to talk with me again. She has asked me about many things, to which I gave answer with all my sisterly love and as evidence that I have spoken to her from the bottom of my heart. I have told her some things that came from my own experience, but her intention was something quite different from the words of her lips. Take advantage and spread the bad news to others. And Jesus warned her, "Don't say anything." Oh my Jesus, from the moment I gave myself completely to you, I have given no thought whatsoever for myself. You may do with me whatever you like. There is only one thing I think about, that is, what do you prefer? What can I do, O Lord, to please you? I listen and watch for each opportunity. It matters not if I am outwardly judged otherwise in this matter. January 15, 1938. Today, when the sister about whom the Lord wants me came to see me, I armed myself spiritually for battle. Although it cost me much, I did not depart one bit from what the Lord had commanded. But when an hour had gone by and the sister made no move to go, I interiorly called upon Jesus to help. Then I heard a voice in my soul saying, "Do not fear. I am watching you this very moment and am helping you. In a moment, I will send you two sisters who are coming to visit you, and then you will find it easy to continue the conversation." And at that moment, two sisters entered, and then the conversation was much easier, even though it lasted for still another half hour. Oh, how good it is to call on Jesus for help during a conversation. Oh, how good it is during a moment of peace to beg for actual graces. I fear most of all this sort of confidential conversation. There is need of much divine light at times like this in order to speak with profit, both for the other person's soul and for one's own as well. God, however, comes to our aid. but we have to ask him for it. Let no one trust too much in his own self. If us always praying for grace. January 17, 1938. Today, since early in the morning, my soul has been in darkness. I cannot ascend to Jesus, and I feel as though I have been forsaken by him. I will not turn to creature for light, because I know that they will not enlighten me if Jesus wills to keep me in darkness. If the will of God to you in darkness, nobody can give you light. You have to go through. I submit myself to his holy will and suffer. Still, the struggle is becoming more and more desperate. During Vespers, I wanted to unite myself with the sisters through prayer. When I went in my thoughts to the chapel, my spirit was plunged into even greater darkness. Total discouragement came over me. Then I heard Satan's voice. See how contradictory everything is that Jesus gives to you. He tells you to found the convent, and then he gives you sickness. He tells you to set about establishing this feast of mercy, while the whole world does not at all want such a feast. Why do you pray for this feast? It is so inopportune. My soul remained silent, and by an act of will, continued to pray without entering into conversation with the spirit of darkness. The best thing, no conversation. Don't make any argument. You will lose the battle. You are not so smart as the fallen angels. Nevertheless, such an extraordinary disgust with life came over me that I had to make a great act of the will to consent to go on living. You need a strong will. Go ahead. And again, I heard the tempest roared. Ask for death for yourself tomorrow after Holy Communion. God will hear you, for he has heard you so many times before and has given you what you asked for. Die. He could die. You know. I remained silent, and in an act of will, I began to pray. Or rather, submitted myself to God, asking him interiorly not to abandon me at this moment. It was already 11 o'clock at night, and there was silence all around. The sisters were all asleep in the cells, and my soul alone was struggling with great exertion. The tempter went on. Why should you bother about other souls? You ought to be praying only for yourself. As for sinners, they will be converted without your prayers. I see that you are suffering very much at this moment. I'm going to give you a piece of advice on which your happiness will depend. Never speak about God's mercy. And in particular, do not encourage sinners to trust in God's mercy, because they deserve a just punishment. Another very important thing, do not tell your confessors, and especially this extraordinary confessor and the priest in Vilnius, about what goes on in your soul. I know them. I know who they are. And so I want to put you on your guard against them. You see, to live as a good nun, it is sufficient to live like all the others. Why expose yourself to so many difficulties? I remained silent, and by an act of will, I dwell in God. Although I moaned escaped from my heart. Finally, the tempter went away, and I, exhausted, fell asleep immediately. In the morning, right after receiving Holy Communion, I went immediately to my cell, and falling on my knees, I renewed my act of submission in all things to the will of God. Jesus, I ask you, give me the strength for battle. Let it be done to me according to your most holy will. My soul is enamored of your most holy will. At that moment, I saw Jesus, who said, I'm pleased with what you are doing, and you can continue to be at peace if you always do the best you can in respect to this work of mercy. Be absolutely as frank as possible with your confessor. Satan gained nothing by tempting you, because you did not enter into conversation with him. Continue to act in this way. You gave me great glory today by fighting so faithfully. Let it be confirmed and engraved on your heart that I am always with you, even if you don't feel my presence at the time of battle. Today, the love of God is transporting me into another world. I'm all immersed in love. I love and feel that I'm loved, and with full consciousness, I experience this. My soul is strengthening in the Lord, realizing the great majesty of God and its own littleness. But through this knowledge, my happiness increases. This awareness is so vivid in the soul, so powerful, and at the same time, so sweet. Now that I have difficulty sleeping at night, because my suffering won't allow it, I visited all the churches and chapel, and if only for a brief moment, I make an act of adoration before the Blessed Sacrament. When I return to my chapel, I then pray for certain priests who proclaim and glorify divine mercy. I also pray for the intention of the Holy Father and to obtain mercy for sinners. Such are my nights. January 20th, 1938. I never cringe before anyone. I can't bear flattery, for humility is nothing but the truth. There is no cringing in true humility. Although I consider myself the least in the whole convent, on the other hand, I enjoy the honor of being the bride of Christ. Little matter that often I hear people say that I am proud, for I know that human judgment does not discern the motives of our actions. When at the beginning of my religious life, following the novitiate, I began to exercise myself particularly in humility, the humiliations that God sent me were not enough for me. And so, in my excessive zeal, I looked for more of them on my own, and I often represented myself to my superiors other than I was in reality, and spoke of misery of which I had no notion. But a short time later, Jesus gave me to know that humility is the only truth. From that time on, I changed my ideas. Faithfully following the lights of Jesus, I learned that if a soul is with Jesus, he will not permit it to err. Lord, you know that since my youth, I've always sought your will, and recognizing it, have always tried to carry it out. My heart has been accustomed to the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to whom I'm faithful. In the midst of the greatest sin, I have heard the voice of God. I always know what is going on in my interior. I'm striving for sanctity, because in this way I shall be useful to the church. I make constant effort in practicing virtue. I try faithfully to follow Jesus, and I dispose this whole series of daily virtues, silent, hidden, almost imperceptible, but make it with great love in the treasure of God's church for the common benefit of souls. I feel in theory as if I were responsible for all souls. I know very well that I do not live for myself alone, but for the entire church. Oh, incomprehensible God, my heart dissolves in joy that you have allowed me to penetrate myself of your mercy. Everything begins with your mercy and ends with your mercy. All grace flows from mercy. In the last hour abounds with mercy for us. Let no one doubt concerning the goodness of God. Even if a person's sin were as dark as night, God's mercy is stronger than our misery. One thing alone is necessary, that a sinner set ajar the door of his heart, that it ever solitude to let in a ray of God's merciful grace, and then God will do the rest. But poor is the soul who has shut the door on God's mercy, even at the last hour. It was just such soul who plunged Jesus into deadly sorrow in the Garden of Olives. Indeed, it was from his most merciful heart that divine mercy flowed out. So always trust us, because we are so weak at times. January 21st, 1938. Jesus, truly dreadful it would be to suffer if it were not for you. But it is you, Jesus, stretched out on the cross, who give me strength and are always close to the suffering soul. Creatures will abandon a person in his suffering, but you, O Lord, are faithful. It often happens when one is ill, as in the case of Job in the Old Testament, that as long as one can move about and work, everything is fine and dandy. But when God sends illness, somehow or other, there are fewer friends about. But yet, there are some. They still take interest in our suffering and all that. But if God sends a longer illness, even though faithful friends slowly begin to desert us. They visit us less frequently, and often the visit causes suffering. Instead of comforting us, they reproach us about certain things, which is an occasion of a good deal of suffering. And so the soul, like Job, is unknown. But fortunately, it's not unknown, because Jesus' host is with it. It's beautiful. Last thing is Jesus. He's the last friend. And having tasted the above sufferings and spent a whole night in bitterness, the next morning when the chaplain brought me Holy Communion, I had to control myself by sheer effort of will to keep from crying out at the top of my voice, "Welcome, my true and only friend." Holy Communion gives me strength to suffer and fight. I wish to speak of one more thing that I have experienced. When God gives neither death nor health, and when this lasts for many years, people become accustomed to this and conceive that the person is not being you. Then there begins a whole series of silent sufferings. Only God knows how many sacrifices the soul makes. When you're so long, nobody takes you in a sick person. That's what her case. Nobody takes. One evening, when I was feeling so bad that I wondered how I would get back to my cell, I came across the sister assistant who was asking one of the sisters of the first choir to go to the gate with a certain message. But when she saw me, she said to her, "No, sister, you need not go, but Sister Faustina will, because it is raining heavily." I answered, "All right," and went and carried out the order, only God knows the hold of it. This is just one example among many. Sometimes it would seem that a sister of the second choir is made of stone, but she also inhuman and has a heart and feeling. At such times, God Himself comes to our rescue, for otherwise the soul would not be able to bear these crosses of which I haven't even begun to write, nor do I intend to do so now. But when I feel the inspiration to do so, I write about them. Today, during Mass, I saw the Lord Jesus in the midst of His sufferings, as though dying on the cross. He said to me, "My daughter, meditate frequently on the sufferings which I have undergone for your sake, and then nothing of what you suffer for me will seem greatly to you. You please me most when you meditate on my sorrowful passion. Join your little sufferings to my sorrowful passion, so that they may have infinite value before my majesty." Jesus said to me today, "You often call me your master. This is pleasing to my heart. But do not forget, my disciple, that you are a disciple of a crucified master. Let that one word be enough for you. You know what is contained in the cross." I've learned that the greatest power is hidden in patience. I see that patience always leads to victory, although not immediately, but that victory will become manifest after many years. Patience is linked to meekness. So, be patient, learn to be patient. It's a root of meekness. We have to learn Jesus meek, gentle, but so much suffering. Nobody understands. As Faustina is teaching us, when you are sick so long, nobody takes you as a sick person. You know, she was so weak, she wants somebody carry her to the cell. And then some hearing somebody, "Now today is raining, let Faustina go to do this one," you see. She's so sick, and then she, because it's raining, so let her go. Then she accept for the love of God. Nobody understands. She write it down, not because complaining. You can see, you have more compassion with the sick people. See, at times they don't look so sick, and they're so normal. But sometimes they're not that normal. And then we should have a heart. So she said, "That sister, you have a heart of stone, your compassion." I don't know whether those sisters read this diary or not, because it published later, not the moment, to avoid, scandal. Perhaps they don't know. Maybe in heaven they know. They may say sorry to Faustina. Anyway, you pray for one another.